Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 91. Tonight's message is called Seven Promises in Christ. Seven Promises in Christ. Psalm 91. We'll read the whole psalm, start off the message. Psalm 91, Seven Promises in Christ. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold, and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now we who are the Lord's people, we rest and trust on the promises of God. We rest and trust on the promises of God. We know that we are sinners in everything that we do. We know that everything we do is tainted with sin. And we know that left to ourselves, beloved, we would be lost. And so we rest and trust in the One who has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And the promises of God which we find in the Scriptures therefore become sweet to the believer. They become sweet to us because they point us to Christ. They point us right to Him. They point us to the One in whom all the promises of God are fulfilled. And they point us to the One who keeps those He saves. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to the second epistle to Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, Paul had told the church in Corinth that he would stop in on his way to Macedonia. And after he had finished his business in Macedonia, he told them that he would stop in. And his plans were altered, though, by the One who controls all things. See, Paul had made plans, but the One who controls all things overrode those plans. And this so often happens in our lives, doesn't it? So Paul didn't have the opportunity to visit the Corinthian church during that time. And the false teachers and those who would cause division amongst the Corinthian church seized this opportunity to speak evil of Paul and to destroy Paul's influence within the Corinthian church. And Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, made a wonderful statement. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're starting verses 15, and we'll go all the way to verse 23. But within this text of Scripture, Paul makes a wonderful statement that ties in with the promises of God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit. And to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be bought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness or the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea, nay, but in him was yea. Now look at this. For all the promises of God in him, that's in Christ, are yea, and in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I come not as yet unto Corinth. But look at verse 20. All the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea, and in him, amen. Now that ties right in with what we'll look at tonight. All the promises of God. So when you look, when you see the promises of God in the Old Testament, they all tie into Christ, beloved. They're all fulfilled in him. He's the yea and the amen of all those promises, beloved. Of all of them. So Paul is bringing forth that all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus our Lord to the believer. And he's the object of our faith. He alone is all our merit before God. All of it. Our justification, all our salvation, all our redemption, and all our sanctification. It's all in Christ. It's all in him. So let's go back to our psalm. Now this psalm before us is all about Christ again and his victory. And the believer who is in Christ is safe. And Lord willing, we will see tonight in our study that what Paul brought forth is true. That in Christ all the promises are yea and amen. Just in even these seven promises that we'll look at. They're all in him. And he is the believer's rest. He is the believer's rest. Now Satan referred to this psalm on the Mount of Temptation in Matthew 4:6, he said, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So this psalm is all about the victory of the Messiah, beloved. It's all about the victory of the Messiah. And let us not forget that all who are in him were represented by him. Right? We were in him. When he died on the cross, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. We were represented. Just like Adam is our federal head, Christ is our federal head. Right? All who are in Christ are saved. All who are in Adam are lost. Right? Right? All who God doesn't regenerate. Oh my. So this psalm is all about Christ and his victory. The victory of the Messiah. We are in him. We are made righteous by him. And let us never forget that the believer is always and constantly under divine care. This is something for us to remember. No matter what we go through, no matter what comes up in life, the believer is constantly under divine care. You're not alone. No matter what you go through. You are constantly being watched by Christ, being watched by God. He watches over his people, no matter what we go through. And our protection comes from him. We are protected in our trials and tribulations because we are in Christ and Christ alone. And Christ is God, the Word who became flesh, the second person in the Trinity. And therefore, all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. Yea and amen. Let's do a quick overview of the psalm before we come to the seven promises that I'd like us to look at. Look at this in verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now Christ alone is our rest, our hope, our assurance, and our confidence. Our confidence for salvation is only in him. He's the head and we're the body. But look at the scripture says, we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Under the shadow of the Almighty. God watches over his blood-bought, redeemed people. He watches over them. And we come before our great God reverently, don't we? We come before our great God reverently. And how do we come? Only by the blood of Christ. Only by Christ. Only through him can we even approach the holy God of the universe. Oh my. Only through him. He is the most high, beloved. He's most holy. I don't think we fully grasp his holiness. He's so holy he can't look upon sin. Oh my. And we not only come into God's presence, but we abide there, the scripture says. We dwell there, beloved. We dwell there. Never to leave. As Brother John led the song, we're in a shelter. Right? Who's our shelter? Christ. He's our shelter for eternity, beloved. My. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Now, I want us to think about this. He is the object of the saints' glory while we're here on earth. And he is the object of the saints' glory in heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. And he's our Savior and our Redeemer. Now, the shadow of the Almighty, this is what I want us to really have sink in here. The shadow of the Almighty speaks of the whole nature of God, including his holiness, his justice, his goodness, his truth, his power, his wisdom, his prudence, and all his perfections form a covering for his people. They form a covering for his people, beloved. My, against which all the assaults of his enemies and our enemies are vain. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Our salvation is wholly dependent upon Christ. Upon him. And he covers us. We are in the shadow of the Almighty. Just like a hen covers her chicks. That's how we're covered. In the shadow of the Almighty. That's our dwelling place. And when we are in the shadow of the Almighty, we're safe for eternity. For eternity. My. It's wonderful. So any assaults from our enemies are all in vain. Are all in vain as we're under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's now look at verses 3 to 8 and take note of the word shall. Shall. And shalt. What a blessed word shall and shalt is. Shalt is to the people of God. It's just a little word. Take note of it when you're reading the scripture. Shall and shalt. It'll bless your soul, beloved. It'll bless your soul. Little words. But oh, what a blessing is in them. Surely he shall deliver thee. There's no question, beloved. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now in Christ Jesus, the believer has been delivered, what? From the curse of the law, haven't we? We've been delivered from the wrath of God. We've been delivered from the penalty of sin. We've been delivered from all our enemies, both visible and invisible. Surely he has delivered we who are redeemed. We're purchased by his precious blood. We're purchased by his precious blood. And God delivered Christ from all his enemies, didn't he? My. But we who are purchased by his blood, we dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. We've been delivered, beloved. We've been delivered. Look at verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Again, we're covered by the Lord Jesus Christ. He watches over us. His wings here are a metaphor, both for healing and hiding. Remember, he has both healed us, right? And he hides us. And let us never forget, we who believe are covered with his spotless robe of righteousness. Right now. Right now. Sinners clothed in the righteousness of Christ, his glorious wedding garment. And therefore, we're able to enter into the presence of God, aren't we? That's why we can approach the throne of grace, beloved, in prayer. Because of Christ, his blood and righteousness. It's wonderful. Look at verses 5 and 6. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Christ Jesus our Lord is our protector. He's our protector. Therefore, we shall not be afraid of terrors of the night. And note again, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. We who are redeemed don't fear the final judgment, do we? And that's not a presumptuous thing. No. We do not fear the final judgment, as all our sins have been bought and paid for by Christ at Calvary's cross. We'll never be judged at the judgment of God, because the judgment of God for our sins fell upon Christ. Look at verses 7 to 8. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Note again here how protected the Lord's people are. In the Old Testament, the plague that killed the firstborn in Egypt of the Egyptians, but it did not fall upon the Israelites. They were near, weren't they? They were near to the Egyptians. They were close. But the plague fell on the Egyptians, but didn't fall on the Israelites. Because they were under the blood. And that's a picture. A picture of we who are redeemed. We're safe in Christ. 10,000 perish on this side and 1,000 on that side. They go into a Christless eternity. But God's people, when they pass from this life, go to glory. To be with the Lord. We who are redeemed are safe in Christ. Again, thousands perish all around us. But when a sheep of God dies, they enter into glory to be with the Savior forever. Forever. God's people, we have trials and tribulations, don't we? We do. In the flesh, we do. But remember, all those trials and tribulations are all by the will of the Father. They're all according to his will. And we behold and see the reward of the wicked, don't we? We see the judgments of God upon an evil race. And at the great throne, we shall agree with the judgment that God passes down upon those who rejected his Son. But we're praise God for our deliverance. For eternity. For eternity. Oh my. Let's read verses 9 to 13. Here we see the believer's refuge and redeemer. And we know this is Christ and Christ alone. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet. And Christ did all this, didn't he? And he was protected and kept. And we see here, there's no refuge and no safety, no security for the sinner outside of Christ. None. Sinner, friend, there's no security in yourself. And we who are redeemed are blood-bought sinners, aren't we? Who fled to Christ, who's the only security, the only refuge, the only shelter for our souls. And that's Christ. And the only reason we fled to Him is because we were made willing. It's wonderful. We're hidden in Him, beloved. Folks are trusting in their religion, they're trusting in their law keeping, they're trusting in their works, but there's no safety in that. There's no refuge in that. There's no security for anyone outside of Christ. I don't care what you're doing. There's no safety for anyone outside of Christ. And God's people are only safe because we're in Christ. And we're only in Christ because it pleased God to make us so. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Because we know left to ourselves, we would not seek God, would we? Because the Scripture says there's none that seeketh after God. We couldn't make ourselves righteous by our own works, just like no one else can, because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We wouldn't understand the Scriptures outside of Christ and the Holy Spirit illuminating them for us, because the Bible says there's no one who understands the things of God. But praise God, it pleased Him to put us in Christ. To choose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And the Holy Spirit regenerates those for whom Christ died for on Calvary's cross. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. It leaves us in awe. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 142. 142. Look at this verse. We'll read verse 4 and 5, but look at verse 4 here. Psalm 142. And this ties in with there's no security, no refuge outside of Christ. None at all. Look at what the Scripture declares here in Psalm 142, verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld that there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And then, oh, let us ponder, we who dwell under the shadow of the Almighty again are only safe because we are in Christ. And we looked at that earlier. We're delivered from all judgment, all condemnation, and the wrath of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are hidden in Him. He alone is our refuge and strength. And look at verse 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge in my portion in the land of the living. That's a believer's cry, isn't it? Right there. Thou art my refuge. Lord, you're my refuge. You're my portion in the land of the living. And again, we who are redeemed have been made willing in the day of God's power to flee to Christ. And thus He alone is our refuge and our habitation. And we love Him only because He first loved us. We come to Him only because He seeks us out. We're lost sheep wandering around before the Lord saved us. And we have made Him our Lord and our refuge only because He made us His people. See, it all goes back to Him. We had no power to make Him Lord in our lives. We had no power to make Him our refuge, but the Lord has regenerated us. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and we flee to Christ. He's granted us faith and repentance to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For He saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. And I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it's not of Him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God. But of God that showeth mercy. If you're here and you're redeemed, God has shown you mercy. He's had compassion upon you. In Romans 9, 15, and 16, very clearly brings that out. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. It's God's choice. It's God's choice. And the believer spends their whole life saying, me. Because it pleased God. Because it pleased God. And we proclaim, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. Let's now look at verses 14 to 16. And we'll see seven promises to the believer in these verses. And let us remember what Paul penned by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, what we first looked at. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. So let us keep that in mind. With that fresh in our mind, let's read verses 14 to 16 here. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? Now remember, the promises of God are something that we as believers, we lean upon, don't we? We rest upon the promises of God. And as we looked at earlier, we see that all the promises of God are in Christ. Yea and amen. They're all in him. So the promises of God are Spurgeon used to say, read the promises of God and just let them sink into your soul. And they can bring great comfort. During times of affliction or trial, and they're just a real blessing to have written to our hearts. Now, we've looked at how the believer dwells in the secret place of the Almighty, and God is his refuge and strength, and we know that this is only true because we are in Christ. And let us look at these wonderful promises with that in mind, and know that God has set his love upon us from eternity, in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love has been set upon his people from eternity. From eternity. Look at what it says. It says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. God will deliver his people, those whom Christ has redeemed. He will deliver them from the penalty of sin. And he did, didn't he? At Calvary's cross. Here, deliver us from the curse of the law. And he did at Calvary's cross. And here also, he delivers us from the wrath of God. And he did at Calvary's cross. But he also delivers us from our trials and troubles, which we go through in our lives. He delivers us. He delivers us. Psalm 59:1, the scriptures declare this: deliver me from mine enemies, O God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. And God delivers us from our enemies, doesn't he? He does, constantly. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 2. The Lord Jesus Christ had delivered his people from their enemies. Think of this. The law of God was an enemy to us, wasn't it? At one time, it was. It had a claim upon us, beloved. It had a claim on us. But Christ has delivered us, again, from the curse of the law. The law demands payment for our sins. And what's that payment? It's death. Soul that sinneth, it must die. So what does Christ do for his people? He dies in our place. He dies. Our sins were imputed to him, and he died. He died in our place. The full wrath and justice of God was poured out upon him. I don't even think we can imagine what that is. I don't even think we can really enter into that. It's incredible. But to think that he bore all the wrath and all the justice of God for all his people. And he's the God-man. Only the God-man could do that. Eh? Only he who's God can satisfy his own law. And he's the God-man. He's God incarnate in the flesh. So God himself satisfies his own law. God himself satisfies his own justice. And God himself redeems his own people. It's magnificent. It's wondrous. It leaves God's people in awe. Christ died for his people, for our sins. The believer says, for my sins. And that payment is death. And Christ has paid it in full, dying as our substitute on Calvary's cross. Look at Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live, in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, he's delivered us, beloved, from all our sins. And then turn one chapter over in Galatians 3:13. Look at this. Christ hath. There's another one of those little hinge words. Christ hath. It's not a maybe. You know, the way some people talk out in the world in religion, Christ hadn't quite redeemed everyone unless you make it effectual. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Look what it says right here in verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Our sin and the penalty of our sin was an enemy against us, beloved. But Christ, the sinless substitute, has died in the place of his people, destroying that enemy, right? Purchasing us and redeeming our eternal souls with the shedding of his own precious blood. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed, you weren't purchased with corruptible things, beloved, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers. What were we redeemed with? The precious blood. The precious blood of Christ is of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. And not only has he delivered us from our sins and from the law of God and from the justice of God, but he delivers us from all our trials and tribulations, doesn't he? In this world, he delivers us constantly. He keeps those he's purchased. He keeps those he's purchased with his blood. He loves them. He loved them. He loves them so much he gave his life for them. Those he's redeemed, through all they go through on this earth, he keeps them. And then he brings them home to glory to be with him for eternity. Salvation is of the Lord. Who he saves, those he keeps. And he delivers us all through our pilgrimage upon this earth, beloved. He is constantly delivering us. It's wonderful. He keeps us. He keeps. And remember, too, no matter what we go through, it's ordained by God. Right? So he hasn't come to pass, but he keeps us. And he'll take us right home to glory, to be with him. He's sovereign, isn't he? He's sovereign. He's not just the sovereign over the planet. He's sovereign over salvation. And he's sovereign over whatever comes in our lives. Wonderful. That's what a God we trust in. What a God we trust in, beloved. It's a God we didn't know at one time. And he's been pleased to reveal himself to us. My, it's wonderful. The next promise before us is, it says here, I will set him on high because he hath known my name. The believer in Christ has Christ revealed to them by the Holy Spirit of God through the preaching of the gospel. And we know his name now. We know his name now. He's the Lord our righteousness. And His name is the name above all names. The only name whose salvation is in. Scripture declares, neither is there salvation in any other. Now, that's what Scripture says, right? Neither is there salvation in any other. So anyone who says there's salvation anywhere other than Christ is lying. Right? Because the Scriptures declare in Acts chapter 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God said there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Christ. And when it says any other, that means you and me and anyone else. There's salvation in no other. There goes Buddha and Muhammad and all the false gods out there, and gone. No salvation in no other. No salvation in the church. No salvation in your baptism. No salvation in your works. No salvation in law keeping. Only salvation in Christ. Christ alone. Oh, God's people rejoice over that, don't we? We rejoice over that. That our salvation is in no way dependent upon us. Now think of that. I was talking to Brother Joe Terrell today. And Joe was bringing that out, how our salvation is outside of ourselves, beloved. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. And your salvation is not dependent upon things you do. It's based upon Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, some folks will say again, and I always have to say this, but some folks will say, oh, if we teach that, people just go crazy. No, they won't. No, they won't. The love of Christ can strengthen us. I know I say that a lot, beloved, but it's so important to keep that at the forefront for us. We don't teach antinomianism. We don't teach you can go crazy. Not at all. Not at all. Do you sin more than you want to? Yeah, I do. Can you not wait until you won't sin anymore? Amen. Won't it be glorious? It'll be glorious. We won't worry anymore. We won't stress anymore. We won't get angry anymore in glory. We won't have tears. Praise God. It'll be wonderful. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And note, in this promise we also see, I will set him. We have been set on high in Christ by God, beloved. It's His work. It's His doing. And think of this when it says, I will set him. I will set him on high. That's high above our enemies. That's high above our enemies. We're exalted and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are set high under the shadow of the Almighty. My beloved. The believer is in Christ. We're set upon the rock. And who's that rock, beloved? Christ Jesus the Lord. He is that rock that is higher than all. He is higher than the angels. He is higher than the heavens. And higher than all His enemies. And higher than all our enemies. He is seated upon the throne of glory. And He rules in majesty and power. And He who is seated upon the throne of glory covers us, protects us, We are crucified with Christ, risen with Christ, and seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And the believer says, praise his mighty name. The third promise in our text is found in verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Note here, he shall call upon me and I will answer. Has not God answered our call for mercy? Have not every one of us who are redeemed cried out for mercy? And God's answered. He's answered us, beloved. He's made us willing in the day of his power to cry out by faith to Christ. And this is a gift of God, to look to Christ. And he continues to answer his people according to his will. According to his, not according to our will. Nobody's going to get God's arm and twist it. Folks think that. If we get enough people gang up on God, he'll change his mind. No, he won't. No, he won't. No. I believe sometimes he leads us to pray about his will. It's amazing. We cry out to him, though, don't we? And he answers our prayer only according to his will and for his glory. And God's people call out to him, don't we? We call to him in Christ's name. We call to God. We call to Jehovah in Christ's name. And because of Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Well, how can we and why do we come to the throne of grace? Well, because God's made it so. And again, we can only approach the throne of God because of the blood and righteousness of Christ. There's no other reason why we can approach that throne. We've obtained grace and mercy in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. The next promise we see is also in this verse, in verse 15. God promises to be with us in trouble and deliver us from those troubles. Look at this. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Trials and troubles come to all of God's people, don't they? All of God's people. There's not one of God's sheep that don't go through something. Right? All of us. Whether trials or troubles come our way, now let us remember this. Whether trials or troubles come our way, we are in the grasp of the Almighty. We're in his hand, aren't we? We're under the shadow of the Almighty. He's covering us, beloved. He keeps us. He keeps watch over us. Oh. We're in the grasp of the Almighty. We're kept by his power. And what power he has. He's the Almighty. He has no rivals to his power. Kings and leaders upon this earth pale in comparison to his power. And this is the one who keeps us. This is the one who covers us. And this is the one who delivers us from these situations, from the trouble that we get into, and from the trials that we go through. Time and time and time again, he delivers us. And think of this. I want us to think of this. Every time we go through a trial or trouble, this promise, and he delivers us through it, this promise is manifested. Every time. We don't think that all. We think, oh, I'm glad to finally be out of that. Well, praise God, you took me through another one, Lord. And that's what happens, right? That's what it is. That promise is manifested each time we're bought through something. And it may be something that no one else knows. It may be agony of mind. It may be agony of spirit. It may be physical. It may be something that no one even knows that we're dealing with. And the Lord delivers us. Time and time and time again. And this promise is manifested before us. Deliver here in the Hebrew means to escape, save, and deliver, to bring into security. We have a double deliverance, beloved, living and dying. We have deliverance and trouble while we go through this life. And we have deliverance out of trials and troubles, and God gives us strength and delivers us from all our troubles. And this promise is fulfilled. And then in our death, He delivers us into glory, beloved. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. The Master told us this in John 16:33. If you want to turn there, I'll just read a little portion of this verse. John 16:33. The Master told us this in light of this little portion here where it says, "Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him." Look what our Master says in John 6:33. In the latter part of the verse, He says this, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." And we do. We do. You shall have tribulation. And we do. "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We're in the shadow of the Almighty. See how it just keeps going right back to Christ? Right back to Him. And this is our Master's own words. He delivers us, doesn't He? "But be of good cheer, beloved of God. I have overcome the world." Let's go back to our text. The next promise is, "I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." There's only one name in which the believer finds honor in. And that is the only name that God will honor. The Lord Jesus Christ. The only name that God will honor. And what benefits we have in Christ. Again, He's called the Lord our righteousness. And the believer is clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And all of God's people, all the saints of God in Christ are honored by God. As we are adopted by God. What an honor that is. We are part of the family of God. What an honor that is. We are chosen by God. We are redeemed by God, Jesus Christ, the God-man. We have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with the one who is the sovereign King over all the universe. Now think of that. We've been studying in 1 Peter that you're a chosen generation. God's people are a chosen generation, right? You who are redeemed have been chosen by God in Christ to have fellowship with Him. What an honor. And it's all in Christ. It's all in Christ. God doesn't bestow that honor on everyone, does He? What an honor for God's people to be in Christ. And you see, all the glory goes back to Him. Because we glorify Him for having put us in Christ, for having chosen us in Christ, for having redeemed us by Christ's blood, for being regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. We give Him all the glory. We give Him all the glory. We've been bought into His kingdom, beloved. All by the power of the Almighty God. And what an honor and privilege it is to be one of God's chosen, blood-bought children in Christ Jesus our Lord. The next promise I'd like us to consider is found in verse 16. "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." It says here, "With long life will I satisfy him." Perhaps a long life on earth, but we know that this life is like a vapor. Rather, we've been given eternal life. The long life spoken of here is eternal life. is eternal life. That's a long life. That's a long life. Oh my. And it's in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 21. Psalm 21, we'll look at verses 4 and 5 quickly. Psalm 21. With long life will I satisfy him. Keep that in mind. Look at this in Psalm 21, verses 4 and 5. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him. Even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. Oh, my beloved. He asked life of thee. Did you cry out to Christ? Did you ask God to save you? He gave you life, beloved. And it's in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wondrous Savior. Remember what the Master proclaimed too in John 5:39. He said this, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Eternal life's only in Christ. It's only in Christ. Only in Him. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Him. Our great God has promised eternal life to His people in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And praise God, the Scriptures proclaim, grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The last promise of God to His people I'd like us to consider from this psalm tonight is found in verse 16. Verse 16, look at this. With long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. Now, I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Note there in the psalm, I'll read it again. With long life will I satisfy Him. We know that's eternal life. And show Him my salvation. Now we know that before we were regenerated, before we were born again by the Holy Spirit of God, we were blind to the things of Christ. We did not know who He was. We thought we knew in religion, but we did not know who He was. But He's been pleased to reveal Himself to His people, hasn't He? He's been pleased to show Himself to us. Remember again, Joseph and his brethren, they did not know who He was. But He revealed Himself, and then they knew who He was then. Look at this, though, in Luke chapter 2. Simeon exclaimed when he held Christ in his hands. We see him proclaim who Christ is. Now, Simeon had been told that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ until he saw the Redeemer of God's people. And look at what the Scriptures say. We're starting verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And remember our psalm, the last promise, and show Him my salvation. So Christ has to be revealed to us, right? Look at this in Luke chapter 2, verses 25. The 32. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. So he was waiting for the Messiah, beloved. He was waiting. He was looking for the Messiah. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he would not see death until he saw the Messiah. With his eyes, not just by faith, but with his eyes. With his eyes. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. What does God the Holy Spirit do? He draws us to Christ, right? He brings us to Christ, right? Note there, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Has God given you spiritual eyes to see Christ? Have you seen the only salvation? Christ Jesus our Lord. If he hasn't, I pray that he give you eyes to see Christ, to look to Christ, to look to him. And this is, we've been given eyes to behold, we who are God's people have been given eyes to behold the salvation of God by faith. We haven't seen him face to face, have we? But oh, he's been revealed to us by faith. With the eye of faith, we see Christ. We see Christ. There was a time when we didn't, but now we see him. Oh, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And we praise his mighty name. And one day, though, we who by faith look to Christ will see him face to face. Face to face. Our faith will become sight. Will become sight. So let we who are the redeemed rest and trust in these precious promises which we've looked at tonight. These precious promises which are yea and amen in Christ. Let us leave here glorifying God. Glorifying God for the wondrous and precious promises from Scripture in Christ.